Hey, today, as we mentioned before, today we're going to be doing... No, this is not the extra. I need this. Do we have any more extras? I made 30 copies, I promise. No more extras? I apologize. Maybe you look on. Anyone take more than one copy here for any reason? No? All right. If you were not zeicha to a copy, I will. I could email it to you later if you send me an email. But in the meantime, maybe look on with somebody else. So as we mentioned before, we're taking a little bit of a break from classic Menachos Perek Hatcheles, and we're just going to do a more Shas topic of Aseh Do Chalos Aseh, and particularly the concept of Be'idna as it comes to Aseh Do Chalos Aseh. But we shouldn't view this as a break from Perek Hatcheles, because of course the primary source, or one of the two primary sources for the concept of Aseh Do Chalos Aseh, is the concept of Sadin B'Tzitzis, that we're allowed to have Shatness and Tzitzis. Just Meirosh, I just want to say that everything, this entire shir, this whole packet that I put together, was all based on a chapter from the phenomenal Sefer Nesiach Luchakecha, from my brother Sefer. It is, so all of the Torah is his. The outline is mine, because that's just, I can't think of things outside of an outline. That's my own chisaron. But all the Torah is his. So let's start at the beginning. How do we know that there is this concept that you need Be'idna? So there are two primary sources in Shas. It comes up in a lot of places, but the Gemara Maseches Beitzah Daf Ches Amud Beis, in the context of talking about the mitzvah of Kisui Adam, when a person does Shechita on Yantif, so we know whenever you shecht a chayah or an oaf, there's a mitzvah d'oraisa of Kisui Adam. We still do this mitzvah bizmanenu, if you shecht chickens or if you shecht a chayah, more commonly with chickens, less commonly that people are shechting chayahs. You would like if you were to shecht a giraffe, let's say. So you would have a mitzvah of kisui adam. No mitzvah of kisui adam, obviously, by a behema. But the question is on yantif, to do kisui adam, you need loose dirt. So in order to get loose, the halacha is that the dirt that you do kisui adam has to be something that's organic material. It has to be something that you can grow something in that dirt. So the Gemara discusses the isurim involved in securing dirt, whether it's digging a hole, crushing up clumps of dirt, something like that, all the different potential isurim that are involved. And the Gemara says that to violate an isur in securing dirt, to then do the mitzvah of kisui adam, would seem to be problematic, because you're going to violate an avera first, then you're going to do the mitzvah. That's what we call mitzvah baba avera. It would have to be be'idna. It would have to be simultaneous that you're already being mekayim the mitzvah while you're violating the avera, and then we would say aseh do chalos aseh. So if the iser is ketisha, that you're crushing up the dirt, you have to crush it right over the dam. So as you're crushing it, it's landing on the dam and covering the dam. But if you crush it first and then you bring it over to the dam, that would seem to be problematic. Yeah.
It has to be something organic. How can you allow to use ashes?
So the assumption is that the ashes are from some organic material, and therefore it can actually grow something. Yeah, that is that's halacha mefreshes in Shulchan Aruch. We could use wood chips also. You know, the ashes probably come from wood chips. So that's one primary source. The other source is the Gemara Masech Shabbos Daf Kuf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, where the Gemara also is talking about this Rabbi Elazar de Mila. So Rabbi Elazar de Mila is a parak of Masech Shabbos that pretty much is all about Mila. So Mila is one of the classic cases where you're going to have this requirement of Be'idna, that what if you have Tzara'as on the Makom HaMila. The halacha is, there's Nisidar Raisa, one is not allowed to cut off a Negat Tzara'as. If you have a Negat Tzara'as, there's a whole process you have to go through, a whole procedure you have to go through in order to get it paskind, whether it's Tamei or Tahar. And what you cannot do is just say, you know what, let me just go to a dermatologist, I'll get it removed. And no offense to dermatologist kids out there, but just go get it removed by a dermatologist and it'll be fine, and I'll have it covered. No, you have to go through the process. Part of the process, because tzaras we know is not just a physical ailment, it's a spiritual ailment. You do not become a mitzvah unless the kohen declares you as a mitzvah. I had a maisa in my shul once. We have a guy in the shul who's a doctor and happens to be a kohen, and another fellow in the shul had some sort of discoloration on his skin. So what do you do? And say, what does a good Jew do? You don't like go to a doctor. You go to the doctor who sits next to you in shul, and you ask him what he thinks. So he went to the doctor who sits next to him in shul. He says, what is this? And Zach's like, Saras? And he's like, oh my God, am I a Mitzora now? Because a Kohen told me I'm a Mitzora. Kohen declared that I have Saras. It's a good Shiloh of the day. Yeah, so he's not a Mitzora. So, as far as I know. So that's the other context where the Gemara says that when you have tsaras b'makom hamila, so while you're cutting the arla, you're going to be doing the mitzvah of mila at the very time that you're cutting off the tsaras. That's b'idna. So we're going to say, I'll say it's dochalos. Could happen. He has a nega. Meaning he has a nega. He has some sort of skin discoloration there. So, meaning a lot of times, most of the questions that kids have, whenever I give a shiur about tsaras, or it doesn't happen that often, but whenever tsaras comes up, all the hands shoot up and say, but wait a second, how did the baby do Navera? He didn't speak Lashon Hara, that's neither here nor there, meaning that's the punishment you get, meaning that we know that tsaras, generally speaking, is a punishment for certain Averos. Lashon Hara is one of the more prominent ones that tsaras is a punishment for. But the halachos of tzaras do not demand that you be a baal lashon hara. The halachos of tzaras are very technical halachos based on, you know, what kind of discoloration it is. Does it grow? Does it shrink? Does it have hairs that grow? You know, exactly what happened.
Just the hospital of Shalom.
That's what they call in Hebrew tzaras. No, but that's not really tzaras.
One of the rabbis said, he used to go there and he said, no, tzaras is not medave.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought that, and he wasn't just saying that as a joke. Really? You have to check. You have to check the book, the biography. You have to look at what's it called?
Tzadik
in Our Time. Right. Yeah. You have to check the biography. I don't know. That seems a little bit odd because, generally speaking, we assume that leprosy is not the same as tzaras, even though it's often translated that way. I think it doesn't match exactly. Okay. For instance, a person can be a leper even if a Kohen never declared him a leper, even if a doctor just diagnoses him. So it doesn't seem that it's really the same thing. But that's really not our topic for today. So the question arises about how exactly do we define be'idna? What exactly is the definition of be'idna, that you need the mitzvah saseh and the mitzvah lo saseh to be simultaneous in order to apply this principle called asay docha lo saseh? So this is an interesting Tosos in Maseches Yevamos and Daf Tzad Yamin Beis. Tosos in Maseches Yevamos asks the question at the beginning in source number 3, Vim Tomar. Sadin betzitzis hechi avi shev v'al taseh. Tosos raises the question. The Gemara over there says that according to the Rabbanan, sadin is pater min atzitzis, because it's shevi al taseh, meaning that if you have a beged of linen, you don't need to put tzitzis in it, and don't worry that you're violating an issur of wearing a beged of dalet kamphos without tzitzis, because it's shevi al taseh. The fact that you're wearing a beged of dalet kamphos without tzitzis is only passive. So you don't have to worry about that, and it's pater from tzitzis. So that's what the Gemara in Yevamos says. So Tosfos asks the Kasha, what do you mean shevi al taseh? Dechi michsi betalis debas chiyuvahi vein bo tzitzis, hurry over biyadayim. If you're taking a large four-cornered beged and you're putting it on yourself, that is an active issur. You're actively doing something usur. How could you call that shevi al taseh, that you're just being passive? Now, passive is if you sit there doing nothing and something happens. That's passive. This is no sir is passive. The isser to leave a carbon over beyond the time that you're allowed to eat it. How do you violate that isser? By doing nothing and just letting the meat get older. So that's a violation. That's b'shevi al taseh. But how could you call this shevi al taseh? You're putting on the beged. So says Tosos, v'yeshlomer de b'shas ituf akati lo mechayev ad achar shenis atef. The k'suscha mashma sha'ata mechusaba kvar. Tosos has an unbelievable chiddush. That the chiyuv of tzitzis is not chal the moment you put on the beged. The chiyuv of tzitzis is only chal after you have already been wearing the beged. The chiyuv of tzitzis comes at a later point, meaning at the moment that you put on your beged of dalet kamphos, you're not chayv in tzitzis. So, for example, let's say I put on the beged of dalet kamphos, and then I take strings and I start tying it into the tzitzis right away. So l'chora, according to Tosfos, that's fine. I didn't do any isser yet. Because the isser wearing a beged of dalet kamphos without tzitzis only kicks in at a later stage, after I already did the atifa. Now, atifa, you think to yourself, when I put on tzitzis in the morning, what kind of atifa am I doing already? remember, they're wearing four-cornered garments. Those people who were wearing four-cornered garments were doing this whole elaborate way of wrapping around themselves where it wouldn't just fall off like a hospital gown or something, you know, like open up. They had this elaborate way of wrapping it around themselves and putting it on and wearing it. Only once they've done that does it become chayiv and tzitzis. Prior to that, it's not chayiv and tzitzis. Yeah? Can't hear you, say it again.
You said that the mitzvah, it only applies once the mitzvah is born. So you're saying that the only if this or if you took off the
you only get the isser if you kept the garment on after the atifa, after you wrapped yourself in it. Till then, it's not usser. It's only usser to wear a beged without tzitzis if you've had it on for some time. But the first few moments, it's not yet an isser. So that's how Tosos suggests. That's his great chiddush. Now Tosos goes weiter, a little further in Tosos. He says, wait a second, is that true? There is a Gemara Maseches Brachos that I think we've referenced twice in the last few days already. The Gemara Brachos Tav Chaf Amrav. The Gemara talks about the concept of Kavod Abriel Stochalos Seishabat Torah, and the Gemara talks specifically about a person who finds as he's walking somewhere that he's wearing shatnez. He discovers either he too Gersos in the Gemara Rashi and the Rambam over there, whether he discovers shatnez on himself or he discovers shatnez in somebody else. Big nafkaminas between those two Gersos, but not for now. Famous not to be Yehuda, Madura Kamasim Lamed Hay. But again, not for now. But the Gemara says that when he's wearing klayim and he doesn't remove the klayim, if a person is wearing shatnez and he leaves it on, that's not called Shevi Al Tasa, that's called Amud Vaseh. Just leaving something on you is considered to be active, is not considered to be passive. So Tosfos says, wait a second. I just got through telling you that the reason the isser of wearing a beged without tzitzis is called Shevi Al Taseh is because the isser doesn't happen when you put it on. The isser happens when you continue to wear it. And continuing to wear something is called passive. Fractosus, but it's a beferish gemara maseches brachos that when it comes to shatnez, continuing to wear a beged of shatnez is considered kumvaseh. It's considered active. So why is it that with regard to shatnez, continuing to wear the beged is called active, whereas with regard to tzitzis, continuing to wear a beged is called passive? So Tosa says because they're two entirely different gedarim to the isser of shatnez and the isser of wearing a beged without tzitzis. Va'omeri, de shayni klayim, de ikar ha'isser b'shas levisha shalavash b'isser. By klayim, by shatnez, the ikar isser is the wearing of it, the putting it on. Aval kan lo mischayev ad achar shenis'atev kideprishis. But when it comes to tzitzis, the ikar mitzvah of tzitzis is only later when it's already been worn. And therefore, it's a little bit difficult to understand, even with this chilek, but Tosfos seems to be saying that since initially to put on this beged was an active isser, continuing that isser is also defined as an active isser. Meaning, when I wake up in the morning and I take out my Barney suit, because anytime you buy a Barney suit, there's like a 90% chance that I shot this in it. So I take out my Barney suit that I never got. That's not an accurate number, but whatever. There used to be a Barney's. I don't know if they still do. They used to have like a sale once a year. So my mother used to like make a big deal about like buying all of us suits at the Barney's sale. Like you'd get really good. And every year, like she stopped doing it because every year she'd like buy us suits and all of them had shotness. So it ended up costing more money to rip the whole thing apart and putting it back together. You might as well buy a real Barney suit, not on sale. So or just get a custom made. Anyway, so I go and I take my shotness suit. When I put it on, I'm actively violating an issa d'oraisa, actively, b'kum va'aseh. So the Gemara is going to consider, let's say I didn't know when I put it on that I was doing it, I didn't know, but I was actively violating an issa d'oraisa. When I later discover it on me, and I later discover, oh my gosh, I look at the label, I say, oh, 50% wool and 50% linen, oh my God, what do I do now? So when I have that moment where I discover shatnez, even though now I'm only passively leaving it on, that's still called active because it's a continuation of my act of putting it on that morning. But when it comes to tzitzis, putting on the beged without tzitzis is not an isser at all. It is not a violation of tzitzis. The mitzvah of tzitzis only kicks in after I'm already lavush, I'm already wearing the beged, and therefore it's wearing it without tzitzis is only b'shevi al taseh, is considered shevi al taseh. The yisod that emerges from this Tosfos is, and what all I'm trying to get out of this is, that if a person puts on tzitzis with shatnez, so we learned in our Gemara, and we saw it in the Gemara in Beitza Daf Ches, and Shabbos Daf Kuf Lamed Beis, are you allowed to have tzitzis with shatnez? Can you have wool strings and a linen beged? And the answer we saw very, very clearly over and over again is, yes, it's mutter. Asay docha los asay. And the Gemara said, you know why it's asay docha los asay? It's not mitzvah babavir? Because it's be'idna. At the same time, you're being mekayim the mitzvah tzitzis, you're already violating the, at the same time you're violating the law, you're already of shatness, you're already being mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzis. It's all happening at the same time. Frek the Shagas Aryeh in two places. In his Tshuvas in Siman Lamed Beis and in his Sefer Turei Evan on Shas, and Chagiga Dav Beis Amid Beis. How can you call that Be'idna, according to Tosfos? According to Tosfos, if I'm putting on a linen garment that has wool strings in it, the moment I'm putting it on, I'm already doing what? Shatness. I'm already violating the Isser of Shatness. When do I get the mitzvah of tzitzis? After the Atifa. A few moments later. So I violated the Isser, and then later did the mitzvah. That should be mitzvah abba b'avera. That should not be asei d'chalos asei. That's a problem.
What did you put it on like this? Like at the same time you're putting it on, you're doing the atifa.
Still, it's after the atifa that the chiyuv tzitzis kicks in. That's what it sounds like. Exactly. So that's the kasha. Over here, it doesn't seem like it's the exact same time. And therefore... Right, but the problem is the Gemara all over the place says that this is asei dochalos asei, that wearing tzitzis with shatness is asei dochalos asei. So that's our kasha. How could you call it asei dochalos asei? It's not be'idna. Good. It could very well be Tosus, right. Tosus raises that kasha at the end. He says, "Umi yukasha midim varchin on lesatik petzitzis mashma d'mshas yitov abin mitzvah." The bracha of it. Now you could understand that question in two ways. One, it could be saying what you're saying, that the nusach habracha is that you're saying that le'isatev, so it sounds like as you're being misatev, you're already doing the mitzvah. You could also ask that the general assumption is that a bracha has to be made over lasyasan. And over lasyasan means the moment before the mitzvah, not over the over, not the moment before the moment before. If the kiyum mitzvah was only after the atifa, we should say the bracha while we're doing the atifa, not before we do the atifa. You know when we say bracha on a talis, those who don't wear a talis, people who hold up the talis like this before they put it on, that's when you say the bracha. The whacking it around their head, you know, hitting everyone with the tzitzit strings, that's after the bracha. According to this, it should be during, the bracha should be during that time. Now one could argue, though, that a birchas hamitzvah, Shach writes in Eretz Tzvi, Siman Gimel, that a birchas hamitzvah in general is always on a maisa mitzvah. I think we've mentioned that this summer also. That a birchas hamitzvah is always on a maisa mitzvah, not on a kiyum mitzvah. So it could be that the kiyum mitzvah is only after your nis'atev, but the maisa mitzvah is putting it on. A bracha is always said on a maisa mitzvah. That might answer Tosfos Kasha also. And that's why the nusach of the bracha is always going to talk about the maisa mitzvah. It's not going to talk about the kiyum mitzvah. Yeah? After, yeah. So good. So how close? Good, good. So that's what the shiur is about, really. That's our primary topic. Meaning, how do we answer the Shagas Aryeh's question? Is going to define what be'idna really means, right? It's going to define how close something has to be to be called be'idna. So the two approaches that my brother points out are the approach of the Turei Evan and the approach of the Nemukei Yosef. Turei Evan's approach is, if you look about 5-6 lines before the end of the page, on page 1 of the Makoros, and source number 5, Ubal karchach tzarech lomer, he says. What you have to say is, kivan di e efsha le mitzvah saseh de tzitzis le kayim ela al yedei ituf hakodum zehu hechsher mitzvaso vavle shabir bi idon de kamei akar lav mekayim lase. Since one can never be in a position of wearing tzitzis without first putting them on, even though the putting them on is not the kiyum mitzvah, but it's impossible to ever do the mitzvah without putting them on, so it's considered to be be'idna. Anytime there's an action that needs to be done in order for this mitzvah to happen, that action is also called be'idna. If you violate the avera while you're doing that action is also called that you're doing the aseh at the same time that you're violating the lav. The bishas ha'ituf to over belav deklayim mekayim laaseh betzitzit, but the tzitzis to ha'ituf aschalta de mitzvah saseh detzitzis. The ituf is the beginning of the mitzvah. Aye, but it's not the mitzvah. No, it's considered like the mitzvah. Kivan de ein makom le mitzvah saseh zuli olam built the ituf hakodum. Since this mitzvah could never ever be done without first doing the ituf. Ve'ituf atzmo aschalta de mitzvah saseh zu umin a mitzvah atzmo yechashev. It's therefore considered, the ituf is considered part of the mitzvah. So the Turi Evan seems to say that any hechsher mitzvah that's absolutely necessary and critical in order to get the mitzvah done counts as part of the mitzvah. And there are rayas to this. Yeah?
Two questions. One, why isn't it based on like a case-to-case situation? Why is it the olam?
So his argument would be that it's not part of the process if there are other ways to do it. It only becomes part of the mitzvah if that's just the way this mitzvah has to get done. But if there are other ways to do it,
it is if it's the only way that it can be done in that case.
So he argues not that way. He thinks that, let's say, you don't have afar to do kisei adam. So crushing up dirt is not defined as part of the mitzvah of kisei adam, because there very often you could do the mitzvah of kisei adam without.
But if I only have clumps, then it is the process.
So he argues no. He says no. Meaning his point is that in order to call it part of the mitzvah, it has to be an integral part of the process of the mitzvah in general. Okay. Now it's somewhat challenging because his raya is from the Gemara in Zvachim about Shviras Etzem by Karban Pesach, which is a bit, really touches on the border of what's called an integral part of the process or not. I'll explain this. The Gemara in Masech Zvachim, Rava brings a raya in Masech Zvachim to Tzadi Zayin and Beis that Ein Asei Dochalos Asei Shebemigdash. You familiar with this concept? Asei is Dochalos Asei, but that doesn't happen in the Beis Hamikdash. In the Beis Hamikdash, we don't assume Asei Dochalos Asei. There's beautiful Ramban al Torah, when the Ramban al Chumash explains why is Asei Dochalos Asei in general. Because there are two elements of Avodas Hashem. There's Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. Avas Hashem is expressed more with mitzvos asei. When you love somebody, you want to do something for them. You want to go out of your way to benefit them. Yiras Hashem is demonstrated more in the realm of mitzvos los asei. You have a sense of yira, a sense of awe, a sense of trepidation. So you don't want to, if there's someone that you're like walking on eggshells around, like you don't want to insult them, you don't want to bother them. So you're very, very careful. You're not going to do anything bad. You're not going to go out of your way to show overt signs of ahava, but you're going to be very careful not to do anything wrong. Yiras Hashem is mafia in los ases. So the Ramban says, what's a higher madrega? Yiras Hashem or avas Hashem? Avas Hashem is higher madrega, and therefore asay is docha los asay. Good, says the Ramban, but in the Beis HaMikdash, even though generally speaking, Ava trumps Yira, in the Beis HaMikdash we have a specific concept in the Mikdash, as Mikdashai Tira'u, that there needs to be a sense of Mora Mikdash, more than Ahava. There's no mitzvah of Ava's Mikdash, there's a mitzvah of Mora Mikdash. The mood, the atmosphere in the Beis HaMikdash needs to be one of Mora. And therefore, Ein Asei Docha Los Asei Sheva Mikdash. Because in the Mikdash, the Los Asei is always going to win. That is the hashkafa behind why Ein Aseh Dochel Lo Aseh Shem Mikdash. But where do we see it? How do we know it? What's the source? How can you prove that Ein Aseh Dochel Lo Aseh Shem Mikdash? So says Rava, we know it from the fact that the Pasuk says, Ve'etzem Lo Sishperu, they not only you're not allowed to break a bone of Karban Pesach, even on Pesach Sheni, you're not allowed to break a bone of the Karban Pesach. This is a din even by Karban, by Pesach Sheni. It already says by Karban Pesach Sheni that kol chukas haPesach yasu oso, that you have to do Pesach Sheni the same way you do Pesach Rishon. So don't I already know not to break a bone on Pesach Sheni? So the Gemara says it must be talking about an etzem sheish bo moach. That you have a bone that has marrow inside of the bone. So one might have thought that the mitzvah saseh of achilas basar, of eating the meat, the marrow, which has a din of meat, would be docha the lo saseh of breaking the bone. So that's why it has to tell me, no, ein aseh docha lo aseh shem mikdash, that it's not true. Over here it's not going to work because there's a din in the mikdash, and aseh is not docha lo aseh in the mikdash. Frek Tosfos, what would the hava mina have been? That you're allowed to break the bone in order to eat the marrow, because aseh docha lo aseh, the aseh of eating the marrow will be docha the lo aseh of breaking the bone. How does that work? You have a bone with marrow in it. The marrow is inside the bone. You want to eat that marrow. What do you do? Physically, what do you do? What do you do? You crack the bone. At that point, you have already done the issur. Then what's the next step? You eat the marrow. Then you are doing the mitzvah. That's not be'idna. So what's the havamina to say aseh docha lo aseh in that case? It's not be'idna. So that's Tosfos' kasha. Tosfos doesn't give an answer. Says to Re'eva, and according to what I'm saying, it's great. Because according to what I'm saying, any necessary step in order to do the mitzvah becomes part of the mitzvah. And therefore, it's necessary to break the bone in order to eat that meat. And the way he's viewing it is that we view each piece of meat as its own mitzvah. You can't say, well, you can eat all the other meat of the carbon without breaking bones. Yeah, it's true, but you can't eat this meat without breaking bones. And each piece of meat is its own mitzvah. So whatever necessary step must be taken in order to be able to eat this meat is part of the mitzvah, and therefore it's called be'idna. That's the term. Any other questions?
You don't have to eat meat.
The mitzvah is you do have to eat. You're supposed to eat all the meat of the carbon pesach.
That's not part of the mitzvah.
It would be part of the mitzvah if I say docha lo aseh. So it would be part of the mitzvah. So that is raya number one to the Turei Aveh. Another potential raya another potential gemara that would seem to at least fit very nicely with the Turei Aveh is the gemara in Bamitzia Daf Lamed in El Mitzias. The gemara talks about various situations where you don't have to do the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. See, the pasuk, if you put the punctuation in the wrong place, the pasuk says that you're not supposed to do Hashavas Aveda. If you put the punctuation in the right place, the pasuk says you should do Hashavas Aveda. Whatever. Long story, but the Gemara darshins punctuation in the wrong place also. The Gemara says Visalamta, that you should hide yourself from the Aveda. When you see a lost object, just close your eyes, pretend you don't see it, and run the other way. The pasuk says, sort of, if you put the punctuation in the wrong place and you ignore half the pasuk. So the Gemara says, oh, so you see, there must be situations where you're supposed to do that. Where you're supposed to be misalim, you're supposed to hide yourself from the Aveda. What are such situations you're not supposed to do the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda? So the most common example given is the Gemara mentions, Zakin Veinu Lefi Kvoda. Let's say you are a very prominent Rosh HaYeshiva, and there's a pair of dirty underwear that somebody lost. And you know, they're probably wondering, where did my underwear go? They're probably looking for their underwear, So for you to pick it up and walk around all day, this Rosh Hashanah gives this example, I'm not just being crude. So if you to pick it up and walk around all day with a pair of dirty underwear, and you're a prominent Rosh Yeshiva, or even not such a prominent Rosh Yeshiva, even a regular Rosh Yeshiva probably, and to walk around like that, so that's beneath your dignity. Rav Zilberstein was asked a Shaila once about a Rosh Yeshiva who found a child's bicycle, like a tricycle. Is that called Zaken Venu Lefi Kvodo? Maybe. To walk around, right? Well, certainly if he has to ride it in order to bring it, that would definitely be Zakin Venu Lefi Kvodo. So that then you're part of the mitzvah of Shabbos Aveda. There's even a comment of Shlomo Kluger in his commentary to Shulchan Aruch. He's clearly wrong. All the Achronim point out that he's obviously wrong. But he has a comment in Shulchan Aruch where he says that the Gemara Sanhedrin has several possibilities of why it is that if you see someone drowning, you have to save them. You definitely have to, if you know how to. If you're not going to drown yourself by jumping in, if you see someone drowning, you have to save them. So the Gemara has several possibilities of why. What's the mechayev? What's the mitzvah? And one of the possibilities is it's a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda to save them. The person's Avedas Nefesh. For Avedas Mamon, you have to do Hashavas Aveda. He's about to lose his life. Of course you have to do Hashavas Aveda. Avedas Nefesh, of course you have to go and try to save him. So Shlomo Kluger comments about Shulchan Aruch. But what if it's going to mess up your frock? You know, you're decked out. You got your up hat and your frock, and you know, you're gonna jump in the water. It's gonna the lake. It's gonna get mess up your whole frock. It's a zaken vedel vikvodo. You're a prominent Roshiva. You're gonna save this life. You know, how could you do that? So, okay, whatever. So it's certainly zaken vedel vikvodo. You're gonna be seen without a frock. So it's gonna be even worse. So it's definitely gonna be zaken vedel vikvodo. So Shlomo Kluger says zaken vedel vikvodo potter. From Hashavas Aveda. So why is he obviously wrong? It's not only a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. But even leaving that aside, how do you define Zaken Vein Lefi Kvodo? If Rashiv is walking around and he sees dirty underwear and it does not have a label, doesn't have a name in it, but he thinks he might be able to find, let's say he sees, oh my God, that's mine. Does he have to, would he pick it up? So probably not, because it's embarrassing. He's not going to pick up, even if it were his own, he wouldn't do it for himself. Whatever he wouldn't do for himself, he's not obligated to. That's called Zaken Vein Lefi Kvodo, to do for somebody else. But if he would do it for himself, if he were drowning, would he just say, I cannot come out of this with a wet frock and just like, you know, sink to the bottom? Probably he wouldn't do that. He'd probably fight with all he's got to try to save his life. So anything he would do for himself, he has to do for somebody else. So that's why it's not a good sushta. Okay, you know, I don't think he was so, you know, it wasn't like someone called him on the phone, I see a guy drowning, you know, what should I do? It was a chiddush that he said, like, l'chora, if you say that it's a din of Hashavas Aveda, you would then have to apply Zaken Vein Lefi Kvodo. If it were limited to the din of Hashavas Aveda, I don't know if he was, you know, passing l'maisa to let people die. So where am I going with this? So the Gemara over there says, Visalamta, that there's sometimes, Pamim Shatam Misalim, sometimes you are not supposed to do Hashavas Aveda. For example, Hayakohen Vihi Bebeis HaKvaros. What if you're a Kohen and there's an Aveda in a cemetery? Halacha is a Kohen is not allowed to go into a cemetery. You're probably familiar with this Halacha. Kohen is not allowed to go into a cemetery. So he does not have to do Hashavas Aveda. If it's if the Aveda is in the Beis HaKvaros. So the Gemara says, Pshita, Ha'asei, V'hai los ha'asei ve'asei, V'lo asi ha'asei v'dachias los ha'asei ve'asei. Isn't it obvious? Without the Pasuk of Visalamta, I would already know a Kohen doesn't have to go into the Beis HaKvaros. Because the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda is a mitzvah saseh. Right? There's a mitzvah saseh, Hashivosele, you have to do the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. The Isser of Tumas Kohanim is both a lo saseh and an aseh. Aseh is docha lo saseh, but aseh is not docha lo saseh ve'aseh. What the mechanics of that is also a fascinating discussion in the Achronim. Do we say that the assay is dochalos assay and therefore you're only left with the assay? Meaning they cancel each other out and you're left with only the assay? Do you say the two assays cancel each other out and therefore you're only left with the los assay? Nafkaminas for Malkus and other things. But whatever it is, that's a Milchus Chinuch type of discussion. But whatever it is, if there's a, both, it's a violation of both an assay and a los assay to go into that Beis HaKvaros, and it's only an assay to do Hashavas Aveda, so then I don't have to do Hashavas Aveda. Why do I need a pasuk? It should be obvious. The implication, though, is very clearly that had Tumas Kohanim only been a lo sase, and had we not had a pasuk of Yisalamta, the Kohen would be obligated to go into the Beis HaKvaros to do a Shavas Aveda. Again, had there only been a Los Aseh of Tumas Kohanim and no Aseh to maintain his Kedusha and his Tara, had it only been a Los Aseh, and had there been no Pasuk of Yisalam to explicitly exempting him from this Shavas Aveda, we would have said that he has to do Shavas Aveda by walking into the cemetery and picking up the Aveda. Now wait a second. He walks into the cemetery, he's already been Mitame himself, he's now done the Aveira. When's he doing the mitzvah?
Only when he takes it up.
Only when he picks it up. It's not Be'idna. It's not happening at the same time. Says to Re'evan, I'm golden, I'm good. According to my Chiddush, it's great. There's a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda on that object. The only way anyone is ever going to get that object is by going into the cemetery. Memela, walking into the cemetery, is part of the mitzvah. It's part of the Hashavas Aveda. It's Be'inna. Turi Evan works out great, he says. According to that, Gemara in Bamitzia, Gemara in Zvachim, he's got all these riots. But the Turi Evan is only one approach. There is another approach. The Nemuke Yosef in Maseches Bamitzia raises this question about the Hashavas Aveda, and the Nemuke Yosef in source number 7 says Ika Demakshu Lamali Mehai Taima. Why do you even need to say that the reason the Kohen doesn't have to pick up the Aveda is because of his Salamta or because it's Los Hasevas? All these different reasons. Tebuli Dafilu Leka Gabe Tuma Elalav Gredesa. Even if Tuma was only a Los Hasei, Lo dachi they say da aveda. Still, Hashavas Aveda shouldn't be docha that los haseh because it doesn't come be'idna, it doesn't come at the same time. So, skipping down a couple of lines, how does he answer? Toward the end of the line, Vaharan Barzal. I don't know who that is. What? I don't know. T-rates, Dahacha Nami, Bisha da'avar alav kiyem haseh, kemila b'tzaras. So no, over here also. At the very moment you're violating the law, you're already doing the asay. Why? Da hamis asek hu b'mitzvas hashava b'shas akiras halav. You're already involved in the mitzvah when you're doing the avera. But I'm not. I didn't pick it up yet. The mitzvah is not to pick it up. The mitzvah starts when you see the aveda. You see an aveda, the Torah says. Torah describes. You see an Aveda, lo tisalem, you're not allowed to hide from it. You have to go pick it up. The mitzvah is when you see the Aveda, as soon as you locate it, now there are a bunch of steps to the mitzvah. Step number one, go over to it. Step number two, pick it up. Step number three, take care of it. Step number four, find the owner. Step number five, return it. Those are all part of the mitzvah. So the mitzvah begins already the moment you saw it. Therefore, when you walk over to it in the cemetery, you're already doing the mitzvah. Not because it's a hechsher mitzvah, but it's the kind of hechsher that the only way to do this mitzvah is by doing this hechsher. No, that was the Turi Evan. This isn't a hechsher mitzvah. This is the mitzvah. It's the gufa mitzvah. It's not just a hechsher mitzvah. It's the real mitzvah. Now, if that's the case, the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda is to walk over to the Aveda, pick it up, take care of it, find the owner, return it. It's all part of the mitzvah. So by the time the Kohen's walking into the cemetery, he's doing the mitzvah. Even at that time, he's doing the mitzvah already. And therefore, it's called Bidna.
Doesn't the same questions apply? If you don't do a be'idna, then the guy might die or something like that. In the Turi Evans, says that you're allowed to do a mitzvah like through another action, even if that action involves a losaseh. Don't you have the same questions on that? Given like the guy might die or like the other stuff was said.
not sure which kasha.
You said that at the beginning that why do we say that you have to do a bit enough?
Oh, meaning that it may not come to fruition. Okay, so we're going to see. I was saying that as like a broad possibility, but it's not so pashut. It's actually machlokes rishonim. Maybe we will, maybe we won't get to it today. But if we don't get to it, look in Roman numeral 2. It's probably machlokes rit for Rashba. So if that's the real reason. Who's right? Turiyevin and Muke Yosef. So, okay, it's a chutzpah to ask such a question, right? But there's some rayas. You know, the Nemuke Yosef would work for, would explain the Hashavas Aveda very well, because that's part of the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. Big Day Kuhuna, the avnate of the Kohen Gadol, has shatness in it. There's a mitzvah for the Kohen, the avnate of the Kohen has shatness. The mitzvah for Kohen to wear Big Day Kuhuna and to do the avoda with Big Day Kuhuna. He cannot do the avoda without Big Day Kuhuna. Bizman Shebigdeyim Aleihem, the Gemara says, Kuhunasam Aleihem. For certain respects, he's only considered a Kohen, at least with regard to Avoda, when he's wearing the Begadim. How does a Kohen wear the Begadim? How does he do it? So he puts it on, he gets dressed, the same way you would get dressed in any other clothing. And then he goes and does the Avoda, but wait a second. When he puts it on, he's not yet doing the Avoda. All he's doing at that point in time is putting on shatnez. Then he does the Avoda later on. Now, is the wearing of the Big Day Kuhuna, the putting on of the Big Day Kuhuna, part of Avodah? Is it the Haschala of the Mitzvah of Avodah? Probably not. Avodah, it's Ma'akiv, you need to do it. And there's no way to do Avodah without it. But it's not the Guf HaMitzvah.
You can't do the Avodah.
It's a Hechsher Mitzvah, a very critical Hechsher Mitzvah, and you can't do the Avodah without it. If you define Be'idna, like the Turei Evin defines it, that any Hechsher Mitzvah that's critical, and that you cannot do the Mitzvah without this Hechsher, that's good enough, that's Be'idna enough, well then you're good with the Big Day Kuhuna. He can't do the Avodah without it, it's a Hechsher Mitzvah, he needs the Begadim. So therefore it's considered like it's part of the Mitzvah already. But if you assume the Nemuke Yosef, then it has to be that he's already started to be Mekayim the Mitzvah, it's just that he hasn't completed the Mitzvah. Like the first part of Mila, where you need to do Mila and Priya. There are two different cuts that have to be. There's a Mila and a Priya. There's the cutting and the peeling back of the skin, which a lot of Molim don't do anymore, because whatever, but meaning they do it all in one shot. But there's a Mila and a Priya. There are two elements to the mitzvah of Mila. So that's all part of the mitzvah. But we're putting on the Big Day Kuhuna, that's not part of the Avodah. It's just a Hechsher for the Avodah. So according to Muke Yosef, this is a problem. No, I'm saying the Big Day Kuhuna themselves are not a mitzvah. The mitzvah right. is the avodah.
So maybe there's the time when that starts is the same time as the Yisur
Kilah. No, but this is the Yisur of Shatnez. The Yisur of Shatnez
right. so
is right away.
The time when you start the Piyah of Big Day Kuhuna. Is
no,
the
no, I'm saying the mitzvah is not mitzvah's Big Day Kuhuna. The mitzvah is mitzvah's avodah. Yeah. So anyway, it wouldn't.
So why is the wearing a lot of these begadim that are flying?
I mean, even if it were be'idna,
yeah.
Well, we shouldn't say asei del chalos asei.
Why is that?
Yeah, so it's dealt with explicitly. I don't remember, but it's dealt with explicitly.
We just saw in the book.
What?
We said that a shatnez it only happens anyway, but it just.
Right. So over here also, by Shatnez, as soon as he puts it on, he's already violating the Avera. Another possible Raya is Rashi Maseches Makos Daf Ches. The Gemara talks about Makos, the first paragraph of Makos, people kill B'shogeg. So a guy is chopping wood, and a piece of wood flies out and kills somebody. So the Gemara discusses whether he goes to a near, whether he has to run to a near Miklat or not. So the Gemara says, "Amalei Umer Rabbanu the Rava, Mimaydi Michatavas Eitzim Derushos Dil Machatavas Eitzim Desukom Machatavas Eitzim Demaracha." How do you know that the situation that we're talking about is that he's doing a Devar Rishos? Because the Gemara talks about what if you're doing a mitzvah and you kill somebody by accident while you're doing a mitzvah. For example, the example the Mishnah of the Gemara gives is that if Ha'av Hamakas Beno Rav Rodes Talmido, if you know, the only way to motivate the child to learn is by beating him a little bit. So that's considered a dvar mitzvah, not so in style anymore, but that's that was considered a dvar mitzvah. So what if you beat him a little bit too much and you accidentally kill him? So do you have to go to galus for something like that? So the Gemara wants to be mechalik between when you're doing a ma'aser rishus versus a ma'aser mitzvah. So what if I'm chopping wood and I'm doing a mitzvah? So says Gemara, what's an example of chopping wood for a mitzvah? When is wood chopping a mitzvah? So Gemara says, well, if you're chopping wood for a sukkah, or you're chopping wood for the ma'arach, you need wood for the mizbeach and the beis hamikdash. So the chopping of the wood is a mitzvah. So says Rashi, why is it a mitzvah? I'm sorry, the Gemara says, even the matzah chatuv lav mitzvah hashinami lav mitzvah. The Gemara says, chopping the wood is never a mitzvah. Because there are plenty of times that you can build a sukkah without ever having to chop wood. How can you build a sukkah without ever having to chop wood?
Buy
a sukkah, fiberglass, or buy a sukkah that has wood already chopped. There are plenty of ways to build a sukkah without ever chopping. I've never chopped wood in my life, and I've built a sukkah every single year since I'm like 8 years old. So there's plenty of ways to build a sukkah without chopping wood. Says Rashi, Kilo matzah chatuva ein hachatova mitzvah ela asiyas hasukkah. The chopping isn't the mitzvah, the making of the sukkah is the mitzvah. Now, that makes a lot of sense if you assume, you know, why does this work? Chopping, right, if you assume like the Turei Aven, that anything that's, right, Rashi's pretty much saying the Turei Aven, that the reason it's not part of the mitzvah is that it's possible to do the mitzvah without it, because it's not a critical hechsher that must be done every time you're going to do the mitzvah. You can do the mitzvah without chopping the wood. Mimela, it's not part of the mitzvah. That's what defines what's part of the mitzvah, whether it's a hechsher that's critical. From Rashi, it sounds like if it were a critical hechsher, it would become part of the mitzvah, even though it's not really the actual guf ha-mitzvah. Even though, so according to Mukhe Yosef, no, even if it were critical, it shouldn't be part of the mitzvah, because it's not the guf ha-mitzvah. The guf ha-mitzvah is building, the guf ha-mitzvah is not chopping the wood. It's a big chiddush. Rashi says the guf ha-mitzvah is building it also, by the way. It's a very big chiddush to say that the guf ha-mitzvah is building the sukkah. Why would you say the guf ha-mitzvah, this also works, why would you say the guf ha-mitzvah is building the sukkah? Torah Evan is great. The Guf HaMitzvah is building the sukkah, because you can't have a sukkah unless you build it. So that's the Guf HaMitzvah. According to the Mukhe Yosef, no, it's still just a Hechsher Mitzvah. It's still not a Guf HaMitzvah. Now, it could be that sukkah is a bad example, because building a sukkah may be an altogether different kind of Hechsher Mitzvah. The Netziv, in his commentary to the She'iltos, points out, Rav Shachty used to always like to quote this, he said Rav Salvechik used to like to quote this comment of the Netziv, that there are different types of Hechsher Mitzvah. There's what's called Hechsher Mitzvah Ksuva B'kra and Hechsher Mitzvah Shein Ksuva B'kra. Sometimes the Hechsher Mitzvah is such a critical Hechsher Mitzvah that the Torah actually tells you to do the Hechsher Mitzvah. It's not an actual mitzvah. Gedilim Tasavacha. Make tzitzis. What's the mitzvah of tzitzis? Leaving aside the Lashon of the Rambam, is wearing tzitzis. But the lashon of the pasuk is gedil tasavcha. So that's a hechsher mitzvah, but it says it in the pasuk to do it. So the Netziv argues that there are several examples of hechsher mitzvah ksuva b'kra. Those hechsher mitzvahs are an entirely different level than a regular hechsher mitzvah, and we would apply a lot of mitzvah rules to those kinds of hechsher mitzvah. For example, there is a rule mitzvah bo yosem ribishlucha. What does that mean? Better say it. Yeah, better do the mitzvah yourself rather than send a shliach. The Gemara derives it from the first Mishnah and the second paragraph of Masechet Kiddushin. The Mishnah says that a man can be mekadesh a woman bo ubishlucho. He can be mekadesh a woman himself or by sending a shliach to be mekadesh a woman. So the Gemara says, bishlucho, he can be mekadesh bo mibay. Do you need to tell me that he can be mekadesh bo if he can be mekadesh bishlucho? Of course he can be mekadesh bo if he can be mekadesh bishlucho. So the Gemara says, we see from there that the what's the Mishnah telling me by saying bo b'shlucho, that it's mitzvah bo yoser mi b'shlucho. So it's not just Eitzah Tova that you should show up to your own wedding. It's actually a kiyum. It's a greater kiyum to show up to your own wedding than to send a shliach to your wedding. Fine. So says the Netziv, the concept of mitzvah bo yosem mibishlucho will apply to a hechsher mitzvah ksuva b'kro also. So if you have the option of building your own sukkah or having someone else build the sukkah for you, you should build your own sukkah. If you have, now, if you can't, you can't. But even if you can't, a lot of the rebbes used to have someone else build their sukkah, and then they would put like the last few bits of schach, and they would have some sort of chelek in the building of the sukkah. You know, roll out the mat at the end, and that's also the mitzvah of building the sukkah. Or if you have the option of tying your own tzitzis or have something else tie it, it's mitzvah bo yosem b'shlucho. Now that itself is a big sugya. You know, when do we say mitzvah bo yosem b'shlucho? What if it conflicts with another principle in mitzvahs? My brother has a whole discussion about this in the outstanding Sefer Nesiach B'chakecha.
Available for purchase.
Available for purchase, yes. My wife took my car, but I did have some copies in the car. The conflict. What happens, let's say, I could pretty much write Hebrew letters that would basically be kosher, but they certainly wouldn't be beautiful. So, should I write my own Sefer Torah or hire a sofer to write it for me? And he's going to write it much, much better. So here you have a little bit of a conflict. Marsham talks about this in Tshuvas, whether, you know, I could do mitzvah bo yosem b'shlucho, but on the other hand, there's Seder mitzvah. So, that's debatable. But it could be that the building of the sukkah is an entire... You can't bring any rice from building of a sukkah. Because building of a sukkah is not just a regular hechsher mitzvah. It's a higher order hechsher mitzvah. So maybe it doesn't belong in the conversation. But be that as it may, bottom line, what we have so far is we have two-way machlokas between the Turei Eben and the Nemukei Yosef. What makes something be'idna? What kind of activities that lead up to the mitzvah are called be'idna? Turei Eben says even things that are only a hechsher mitzvah, but they are critical, necessary hechsher mitzvahs, that's also enough to make it be'idna? And the Mukhei Yosef says, no, it has to be the guf ha-mitzvah. Hechsher mitzvah is not enough, you have to be in the mitzvah already. The problem is, Tosfos disagrees with both. And we don't know what Tosfos really holds, we just know that he disagrees with both. How do I know Tosfos disagrees with both? Tosfos Maseches Bavas Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara over there talks about it to quote a Mishnah Maseches Idios. The Mishnahs and Idios are a lot of fun. If you never learned Mishnahs and Idios, you should. Next time someone needs to learn something for a Shloshim, sign up for Idios. It's fantastic. It's like a Shas Katan. They say Ksuvus is a Shas Katan. Not really. Idios is a Shas Katan. It has like every all over Shas. Because instead of having Mishnahs that are about a specific topic, it's like themes. Here's all the places where the Beis Shammai are Mekel and the Beis Hillel are Machmir. So it's all over Shas. And here's all the places where Chazur Beis Hillel Lahoros Kedivir Beis Shammai. That Beis Hillel changed their mind and they went back to do like Beis Shammai. So fascinating, fascinating topics. So there's a Mishnah in Idios that talks about the following thing. Let's say you have a guy who's a Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin. He's half free and he's half slave. How does he pull off such a trick to be half free and half slave?
Two owners.
Two guys chip in, they buy a slave together, they say, we'll get together, we'll be partners, it's going to be great, we've been friends for so long, we'll be partners in this slave, and we'll split it, we'll be great. And any time good friends get involved in a partnership, it starts out great, and then ultimately they say, this is not working out, you know. And one of them says, okay, I'm going to stick it to him, I'm going to sell, you know, I'm going to free my half of the slave. So he frees his half of the slave, and the slave is like, oh my God, what do I do now? He's half slave, he's half free. Now, when a slave becomes free, he becomes a Jew. Talk about an Eved Kanani. When he's a slave, he's an Eved Kanani. He's only Chayim Mitzkisha. So he's stuck. So the slave is the one that's really suffering. Lisa Shivchay Neyach. So Beis Hillel says, no problem, don't worry about this. He'll work 3 days for the master, for the remaining master. He'll take 3 days off for himself. And then the Shabbos. So he'll be fine. So the Gemara, the Mishnah says, "Yeah, tikantam as rabo, avos atzma lo tikein." You helped out the master because now the master is still going to get 3 days of work out of him. Who's he going to marry? Lisa shivcha in a yachal. He can't marry a shivcha because he's a chatzi ben chorin. Lisa baschorin in a yachal because he's a chatzi eva. Who's he going to marry? And don't tell me he's not going to marry anyone because lo shevas yitzara. God created the world so that we can reproduce and we can populate it. So says Tosfa. So says the Mishnah. Kofenes Rabo, we force the remaining master to free him. Generally speaking, it's an issa daraisa to free a slave. Liolim ben tavodu. You have a mitzvah daraisa to keep him. You're not allowed to free a slave. But We have to be able to do Puruvu, to allow him to do Puruvu. Frek Tosvos Vim Tomar Amai Kofin. Why do we have to force the master to leave him half a slave and let him marry a Jewish girl? Aye, half a slave, how could he marry a Jewish girl? That's a los ase. Puruvu is an ase. Ase docha los ase. Now, if you're the Turei Evan, is this a viable example of ase docha los ase?
No, because it's also an ase, keeping him slave.
Leaving that aside, meaning just looking at the los ase of Kaddish and the ase of Puruvu from the Eved's perspective. That ase is the Adon's, from the Eved's perspective. Would this be called Be'idna? That it's happening at the same time? According to the Turi Evan, the mitzvah of Puruvu, when are you mekayim the mitzvah of Puruvu? When a baby's born, probably, right? What is necessary in order to... Turi Evan said what? How do we define Be'idna? Any hechsher that is what? That is absolutely critical in order to accomplish the mitzvah gets included in the Be'idna. The Tashma Shemitah, the Maisa Bia, is critical. They didn't have IVF. The Tashma Shemitah was critical. You can't do the mitzvah without it. When is Lo Yeh Kaddish violated? The Yisra of the Yevet sleeping with her? That's at the time of the Tashma Shemitah. At the same time, it's both the mitzvah and the Yisra. So it would be Be'idna. According to the Torah Evan, it's good. It's Be'idna. According to Muke Yosef, what's the rule? What's called Be'idna? As long as you have begun to do the mitzvah. What is the Maisa Mitzvah of Puruvu? The Bia, Tashma Shemitah. That is the mitzvah. It's not just the Hechsher Mitzvah. That's part of the that's the Maisa Mitzvah. The Kiyuma Mitzvah is when the baby's born. The Maisa Mitzvah is the Bia itself. According to the Mukhei Yosef, that would be Be'idna. Comes along Tosfos. V'om Rabbeinu Yitzchak. He says he tells us his four answers. One of them is Chada did be'idna be'yakar lav lo mekayim ase. You do the los ase before you ever get to the ase. Why? Timishas ha'ara'a ka'akar lalav v'ase d'bruvu lo mekayim ad gemar bia. At the beginning of the process of bia, the initial penetration of the aver, you're already violating the los ase. The mitzvah ase is not till the gemar bia. So they're different times. They're not exactly at the same moment. But wait a second, according to the Torah of Heaven, you can't have a Gemara Bia unless you had a Tchilas Bia. You can't get to the Gemara until there was a Tchila. So that should be called Be'idna. According to the Mukhei Yosef, is this part of the Maisa Mitzvah? Is the Tchilas Bia part of the Maisa Mitzvah? Of course it is! Part of the Maisa Mitzvah. So it should be called Be'idna. Tosfos says, no, it's not Be'idna. So whatever Tosfos does hold, we know what he doesn't hold. He doesn't hold like the Torah Evan, and he doesn't hold like the Nemukei Yosef. And therefore, Tosos, Lishi Tosso, is going to be stuck with the Kasha that we started with. How could it be? What was the Kasha that we started with? How could it be that the Asay of Tzitzis is going to be Docha, the Los Asay of Shatnis? It's not Be'idna. The second you put on the Beged, you're already doing Shatnis, but Tzitzis does not come till later. So whatever Tosos holds, he does not hold like the Torah Evan, does not hold like the Mukhei Yosef. So there is some discussion about that. You could take a look in the Sefer Nesiach Buch Kecha. There's obviously a lot of more stuff we didn't get to, but tomorrow we're back to Tzitzis.